Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. Get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents at skillshare.com/creative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including The Accidental Creative and the new book, Herding Tigers, Be the Leader That Creative People Need. And here on the show, we talk about you and your creative process and what it takes to show up every day and to be brilliant at a moment's notice, which I know sounds like some kind of gimmicky, tricky kind of thing, but it's not. The reality is if you want to be brilliant at a moment's notice, you have to begin far upstream from the moment you need a brilliant idea. The way you do that is by building practices and rhythms and systems into your life to support your ability to be creative under pressure and to collaborate and to lead more effectively. Today's show features a conversation with Jay Baer. Jay is the president of Convince and Convert. He's also the author of a new book. It's called Talk Triggers, and it's about how to use word of mouth marketing to basically spread the word about what it is that you do, whether you're a freelancer, if you run a larger organization, if you're trying to create something that is memorable, remarkable, and that people will talk about. Today's conversation is going to give you a lot of insights into how to do that, how to create buzz with word of mouth marketing. Before we jump into that, just a couple of things. You know, for many of us who have to create for a living, one of the banes of our existence is the good old brainstorming session, right? We get everybody in the room and we pull out the markers and we say, okay, who has an idea? Not necessarily the most effective way to conduct a brainstorming session. So I've created a free course, absolutely free. If you go to brainstormingblueprint.com, it's designed to help leaders or really anybody who has to be creative for a living to have a better brainstorm, to solve some of those key issues that often arise in the midst of group collaboration. So visit brainstormingblueprint.com to take the 4-part video course and to get all the supplemental materials as well to help you lead a better brainstorm. That's brainstormingblueprint.com. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. One of the things I wrote about in The Accidental Creative, my first book, was the importance of unnecessary creating. Unnecessary creating being creating that you do just for yourself, to develop your skills, to enlarge your perspective, to take risks in a relatively low-risk way. Sometimes in your create-on-demand job, you can't take the kind of creative risks that you want because you have clients and you have a boss and you have people who have expectations of your work. You can't take those risks. But when you're on your own doing unnecessary creating, you can take whatever risks you want because the work is all for you. Well, I believe that one of the best tools you can use to help you engage in unnecessary creating and to learn and to develop skills is Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning platform with over 20,000 classes in business, marketing, technology, design, and more. And you can take classes in social media marketing, data science, web development, you name it, they've got it. So whether you're trying to deepen your professional skill set, which all of us need to do, if you want to start a side hustle, you know, start a side business of some sort, but you just don't know where to start, or if you just want to explore a new passion, you want to engage in unnecessary creating, develop yourself, develop your perspective, take some risks, learn some skills, try, fail, learn, develop. Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving. So on the professional front, many of you know that I'm a writer. I write books. I've written 4 books. I'm always trying to figure out ways to develop my writing, to sharpen my craft. Well, Skillshare has a ton of courses from experts about how to write better. It doesn't matter your experience level, your expertise level, Skillshare can help you go to the next level in your craft with courses like Creative Writing for Impact, Looking Inward and Outward in Personal Essays. There's a course about the Hitchcock Method, how to add suspense to anything you write. There's a course called Humor Writing, Writing Funny for the Internet, Creative Personal Writing, Write the Real You. All of these courses designed to help you deepen your craft and your professional skill set. Skillshare is there to help you do just that. So here's the deal. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for listeners of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents. That's right. Skillshare is offering the Accidental Creative listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for just 99 cents. To sign up, just go to skillshare.com/creative. Again, that's skillshare.com/creative to start your 2 months now. We thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to have back on the show today, Jay Baer. Jay's been on before, super popular guest of the Axial Creative Podcast, and he's got a new book called Talk Triggers, The Complete Guide to Creating Customers with Word of Mouth. Jay, welcome to the Axial Creative Podcast.
Fantastic to be back, my friend. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, for those who, I mean, obviously many listeners are very familiar with you, but for those who aren't necessarily acquainted with all that is Jay Baer, could you just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
You bet. And thank you again for having me on the show. I am a seventh generation entrepreneur, a digital marketing pioneer. I started in online in 1993, so before we really had much of anything, so long ago that when I started in the business, domain names were free. You could just get whatever you wanted and not pay anybody because nobody wanted a website. Like, well, you can just have it. True story, my partner and I in my first internet company, we sold Budweiser.com to Anheuser-Busch for 50 cases of beer. That's how long.
Oh my goodness. Been doing
this. True story. So I've been doing it a long time. I've started a number of companies subsequently. I am the president of Convince and Convert, a 10-year-old marketing consultancy that works with lots of major brands on digital strategy, customer experience strategy, et cetera. I'm a keynote speaker and author of now 6 books.
Wow. I didn't realize it had been 6 books. That's a crazy amount of writing. And not a very long period of time, actually.
No, you know, I try and, you know, for the major books, I've done four major ones and 2 kind of spinoffs. Some friends of mine, like Mark Schaefer and other folks, you know, are knocking them out like Stephen King pace, right? Just like bam, bam, bam. And I'm like, dude, I can't think that fast. I have too much other things to do in my life. I try and go like every 30 months is kind of my pace. Yeah. And it's not like, it's not really defined on the calendar. It's just, that's when I forget all the trauma of the last one.
Right.
I guess it's time to write another book. And my wife actually forgives me from writing a book. And then I'm like, okay, I'll do another one.
Right. Well, I have the same conversations with my wife as well. And it's funny because as I'm writing, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be my last one. And then writing the book itself sparks a new idea. And I'm like, okay, I've got another one. Okay, I've got another one. Okay. Yep. You know, so it's funny. All right. So your new book is called Talk Triggers, which I loved. And I would love to talk about this concept of talk triggers. I think it's applicable to, I mean, obviously we have a lot of freelancers who listen, but also people who run, you know, run teams or they are in charge of marketing products or services for their company. And I found this to be a really compelling argument that you make. The very first example that you give in the book was one that I have encountered so many times. And that is the example of Cheesecake Factory. So could you use the example of Cheesecake Factory to describe the concept of talk triggers to us?
Yeah. And let me just set it up this way first. Word of mouth represents between 50 and 91% of all purchases, right? It influences a tremendous amount of business. Whether you're a sole proprietor or a small company or a large company, word of mouth is driving a lot of your success. And I think we all know that to be true intuitively. But what's a mystery to me is that despite the fact that word of mouth is the original marketing, like back in the caveman days, like that's all we had, right? It was word of mouth and we didn't have anything, right? And then somebody like painted on a cave wall. It's like, oh, a billboard. But back in the day, that's all we had. And so word of mouth has been incredibly important for hundreds of thousands of years. Yet it's the most important business that we take entirely for granted, right? Yeah. So the part that's a puzzle to me is that you might have a marketing strategy, you might have a content strategy, you might have a social strategy or a PR strategy or a hiring strategy, but nobody has a word of mouth strategy. Like nobody has a word of mouth strategy. We just say, well, I'm sure our customers will talk about us. Right. But why do you think that? And what are they going to say? I mean, we would never take anything that important for granted other than word of mouth. It's crazy. So what my co-author Daniel Lemon and I tried to do in this book, I'm glad that we're, you know, that this show is all about being accidental, because what we're trying to do is give people a system to do word of mouth on purpose instead of doing word of mouth on accident, which is how we're all doing it today. And so the Cheesecake Factory, to your point, is a really good example of that. If you've ever been to a Cheesecake Factory restaurant, now you have, Todd.
The
menu is, it's absurd, right? It's like a phone book.
Right.
It is truly, it's the worst place. It's the worst place in the world to be a server, because you come up to the table like, Hey, are you guys ready to order? No, we are totally not ready to order. And we're not going to be for a while. You got to give us some time. The menu is 5,940 words long. They make chicken 85 different ways, which is extraordinary because no one listening can name more than 20 ways to make chicken. 85 is truly an outlier. So this giant menu is their talk trigger. And a talk trigger is an operational choice that you make in your life or your business that compels word of mouth. It makes word of mouth involuntary. It's something that you do different, not necessarily something that you say different. So we actually did a bunch of four separate research projects for this book. It's got lots of proprietary research. And one of the projects, we talked to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DoubleTree customers and found that 38% of them have mentioned that menu specifically to somebody else in the last 30 days. So the companion question is, what's the last time you saw a DoubleTree ad? Almost never. They don't have to advertise because the giant menu is their advertising. Their customers become volunteer marketers, and the story they tell each other is about the giant menu. And that's on purpose. That is their talk trigger, and every business of every size, shape, and description should have one.
Yeah, and with DoubleTree, it's the chocolate chip cookie, right? And that's the sort of...
30 years they've been giving away a warm chocolate chip cookie when people check in, which is a pretty extraordinary commitment to a bit, right? I mean, it's pretty great. And we did research on that too and found that 34% of their customers have talked about the cookie in the last 30 days. And I asked the same question, what's the last time you saw a DoubleTree ad? I mean, you just don't, right? The cookie is the ad. In fact, if you go to Twitter and search DoubleTree plus cookie, you'll see like dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of posts, people, presumably rational people, saying things like, I love those cookies so much, I'll only stay at DoubleTree. And I'm like, man, that's...
that's commitment to the cookie.
you're a cookie fan. You're a serious cookie fan. Because I would book a hotel based on, I don't know, location. But if you're going to go just based on chocolate chip cookie, God bless.
So we often hear this, this term unique selling proposition tossed around. What's the difference between a unique selling proposition and a talk trigger?
Yeah, we talk about that in the book. You know, the USP, unique selling proposition, has been part of the marketing lingua franca for a long time. It's this idea that, what's the thing that you do differently than your competition? Here's the way I like to describe it. A USP is a bullet point that you'll discuss in the office. A talk trigger is a story that you'll discuss in a bar. Right? A USP is like, well, our car has a larger trunk. It's like, well, that's true, but it's not a very good story, right? People don't tell trunk size stories very much, right? But, for a while there was, I forget which minivan it was, which I guess sort of undercuts the power of my story here, but there was a minivan that had a vacuum attachment in the back. Right. So if you got your kids in the back of your car and they're like, full of like my kids when they were younger, all kinds of like graham cracker crumbs and God knows what back there. And it was actually you just plug in the hose. Right. And you could vacuum out your own car. That's a story that you'll tell.
Yes.
So I'm not suggesting that you don't need a USP. You should always be thinking about how you stack up versus your perceived or real competitors. But a talk trigger is really all about stories. Right. It's all about giving your customers a story that they can tell one another that propels your business forward. And one of the other things I think that separates the two is that when we do talk triggers consulting at Convince and Convert and work with brands to put these things into practice, we sometimes will go through this exercise where luckily people on my team, there's a number of them have kids who are between say 8 and 11 years old, which is the perfect age for this exercise. So we figure out what the potential talk trigger is, the story, the giant menu, for example. And then we tell that story to a child and we say, hey, so what about, menu and you go to a restaurant and menu is huge. And then we wait a day and then we say to the kid, hey, can you tell me that story again? And if they can tell it, then you know it's simple and clear and resonant enough. If a child can remember it and tell it, you've got it right. Usually when we talk about USPs, we make it too complicated because you have to know what the competition does. And then here's how we're different from the competition. And it becomes a much more complicated story that people are not going to tell at a barbecue.
Yeah. Well, and another point that you make in the book, actually I think really well is, and the reason I remember this because you quote Spinal Tap to make it is it's a fine line between stupid and clever.
Favorite movie of all time. So I was glad I was able to get Speak Tap
together. We talk about businesses all the time that do stupid things or have stupid angles, but they aren't necessarily talk triggers. Why?
Yeah. I think partially that's a perceptive question. Partially because usually when people do things stupid, it's designed as a one-off. So we talked about this in the book, and I kind of go on a little mini rant about this in the live presentation of this material, that in marketing today and in business, there's this embrace, especially in social, of surprise and delight. And surprise and delight is where you take one customer in one circumstance and you treat them much differently in the hope that they will create some content about that and it will go viral. So hotels are fairly addicted to this premise where, you know, one guest checks into the hotel, the Marriott by the airport, and there's a live panda bear in their room and there's like a eucalyptus tree and you're like, what, you know, and then they, you know, put it on Facebook or whatever. And then it goes to Reddit and then it jumps the lane and gets picked up by the traditional press or whatever. Right. We see those kind of examples all the time. Now that can be successful, but that's not a strategy, right? That's not a talk trigger. That is not a consistent word of mouth strategy that can build your business for 30 years. Yeah. That's something that is really, really exciting for 3 to 10 days. And then that's it, right? It's a very short term. It's a lottery ticket, essentially, right? You're like, let's do one wacky thing and hope that people talk about it. But then what do you do, right? So talk trigger, one of the key principles to it is that it is repeatable, meaning that it happens every day. And it's available to every customer. It's not just, you know, Cheesecake Factory, everybody gets the same menu, right? DoubleTree, right. Everybody gets a cookie. It's not just, you know, for example, when you go to a DoubleTree, they don't say, are you an honors member? And if you're a loyalty club member, you get a cookie. Everybody gets a cookie, whether you're in the loyalty club or not, right? And yes. That's actually different than how a lot of businesses think today. A lot of companies today are incorrectly, in my estimation, attempting and succeeding to purposefully treat their customers differently, to say, well, we've got level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, level 5. When you get on the airplane, it's the worst, right? Like I fly every day and it's like 117 boarding groups. It's like, what? Why are we doing this? This is insane. Right. Like I'm usually in 1 or 2 because I fly so much. But those poor suckers in group 11, right? And they're getting on the plane and there's like a donkey and dirty ice and like diapers. And I mean, those people are not feeling treasured by that brand, right? And now they give you this dire warning, right? So you're sitting in the airport. I just heard this last night. Every time I hear it now, I laugh. You know, they're like, welcome to Delta flight, whatever, from Detroit to Indianapolis. This is just hours ago. Hey, guys, let me tell you, if you're in boarding group 5 or higher, there's no way in hell your bag is getting on this plane. So why don't you just give it to me now and I'll give you a little piece of paper that you're probably going to lose. And, you know, we'll cut out the middleman. It's like the whole thing is like so bad from a customer experience standpoint, but this is their plan, right? This is actually their strategy. And I just feel like it's way misplaced.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk about the four requirements that you overview that describe really effective talk triggers. And we're just going to do very brief touch on each of these, but I think it's important for people to contextualize this and understand, like, okay, as I'm thinking about this for my organization or for my product, here's how I need to think about it. So the four are remarkable, relevant, and
reasonable
and repeatable. Would you mind just giving us a brief overview of those?
Yeah, remarkable is table stakes, right? Because the whole idea, remember, is to get people to tell stories about you. Yeah. So the story has to be different enough that people will tell it. See, nobody's ever said these words. Nobody has ever said these words. Hey, let me tell you about this perfectly adequate experience I just had.
Right.
Nobody says that, right? Why? Because that's a terrible story. Like, that's the worst story ever. So whatever your talk trigger is has to be remarkable. It has to actually be noticeable. Now, that doesn't mean it's got to be wacky. It doesn't have to be a panda bear. It just has to be different enough to be noticeable. It has to be remarkable. So that's first. I mentioned repeatable a second ago in the difference between a talk trigger and surprise and delight. A talk trigger is offered to every customer every time, not just once in a while. So repeatable is the second one. Reasonable is the third one. And it's similar in that a lot of times, especially now, because there's a lot of competition for attention, we try to do something super big and bold and it backfires.
Yeah.
Because if I say to you, you get a car and you get a car and you get a car and you get a car, who says that?
Oprah.
Oprah says that. Who else can say that?
Nobody.
Nopra is the answer. Right,
yeah. Nopra.
Nobody else has that trust, right? So you want your talk trigger to be big enough to be noticeable, but not so big that it becomes untrustworthy. Yeah. Right. You don't want people to doubt whether it's true. And a lot of times companies make this mistake. They're like, okay, we're going to have a contest and put your name in a fishbowl. And one of you is going to win an island. And you're like, wait, what? Like, that's not true. Right. So it doesn't have to be big. I mean, look at DoubleTree. 30 years. It's a chocolate chip cookie, man. Like, it's a good cookie for sure, but it's just a chocolate chip cookie. And that's the secret to their success, right? It's a cookie. So don't overthink it. And the fourth one is it has to be relevant, right? It has to make sense in the context of who you are and what you stand for. And this is one that's incredibly important, especially for smaller businesses and sole proprietors, is that the talk trigger has to helicopter back to kind of what your DNA is. Like, what is it about you? The theory of the firm, my friend Tom Webster would call it. So DoubleTree makes a lot of sense because even within the collection of 14 Hilton brands, DoubleTree's brand position is the warm welcome. What they want to do is be the best in the world at the 8 or 10 minutes between when you step foot in the hotel and when you step foot in your room. That gap of time, they want to be amazing at that. So they spend a lot of time and money on lobby design. They train their front desk staff more so than most brands. And this cookie ceremony, and it really is a ceremony, right? It's not a pile of cookies on a desk. They go behind the counter, open an oven, get a warm cookie out of an oven, turn back and hand you a warm cookie in a bag hand to hand, right? It's almost like a Japanese tea ceremony, but for fat Americans. And but that fits into this concept of the warm welcome, right? It makes sense. If DoubleTree was like, hey, and you get a free alternator for your car, like that might create conversation, but it doesn't make sense, right? So that's the fourth one. It has to be relevant.
Yeah. So as I think about this for people who are listening, and I know we have a lot of people who work for larger organizations and are leaders, managers, but I'm thinking about maybe the freelance designer out there or somebody who's doing kind of like maybe a solopreneur, they're doing maybe a service business. If you were that person, how would you be thinking about next steps with regard to creating a talk trigger?
Yeah, the good news is, this is really why we wrote the book, okay? So there are a number of good books out there about word of mouth. We interviewed the authors of all of them. So it's not as if Daniel and I invented the premise that word of mouth is important. We've been talking about this for a long time, yet we still have a strategy. What we wanted to do is say, okay, great, but how do we do it? So the whole back of the book is a 6-step process of exactly how to create, test, measure, and implement your own talk triggers. And ultimately, that will be our contribution to this field. Yeah. Not the fact that word of mouth is important, but exactly how any business can do it. And I know it works because it's the same process we use at Convince and Convert on the consulting side. The key to it is understanding all the different touch points that you have with customers and prospective customers, and then determining what they expect at each of those touch points, because once you know what people expect, you can give them what they don't expect. And what they don't expect is your talk trigger. So I'll give you an example of a freelancer, not dissimilar from my business as a consultant. One of the things, kind of the key milestones in a relationship like that, professional services of any kind, is at some point there is a proposal. Yes?
Yes.
At some point you say, here's what we're going to do. Here's what it's going to cost. That's a very common situation. So what you would want to do is ask your existing customers, what do you expect when you get a proposal from somebody like me? Now, in many cases in my business, because we're virtual, they might say, well, we expect you to send us an email with a proposal attached as a PDF. Yeah. That's what they expect. That's the perfunctory, this is what everybody does. Well, right. what they wouldn't expect is to send them a sheet cake. And the frosting of the sheet cake is designed to look like the cover of the proposal. The proposal itself is printed out and then stored in a laminated sleeve underneath the cake. So in order to actually get your proposal, your prospective customer has to eat an entire sheet cake. That's what they don't expect. Right. And that would, of course, be a talk trigger.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, the book is called Talk Triggers, The Complete Guide to Creating Customers with Word of Mouth. The author is Jay Baer. Jay, if people want to find you, what's the best place for people to find you?
The book itself is at talktriggers.com. all kinds of free bonus content there, PowerPoint presentations, book club study guides, all kinds of extra infographics, research reports. So whether you buy the book or not, go to talktriggers.com and get that stuff. Also, I'll tell you one last thing, Todd. The book itself has a talk trigger, as you might suspect. Actually, two. Number one, it has alpacas on the cover. So if you see a book that has alpacas, you're like, that's probably the right book. And second, on the back of the book, it says these words, big bold letters, satisfaction guaranteed. If you bought this book and didn't like it, go to talktriggers.com and send the authors a note. They will buy you any other book of your liking. And we will. If you buy the book, you don't like it, I will buy you whatever book you want. You want a first edition Bible? We'll figure it out. That is our talk trigger. So there's literally no reason to not buy this book, because if you don't like it, you get your money back and then some. So talktriggers.com for the book stuff, and you can find me and all our jazz at convinceandconvert.com.
That's great. Well, Jay, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
And of course, as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.